You're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia in Canada. This is a song called Head Fight by Itasca. This regular hour, Wednesdays 3 to 4 p.m., is when you would hear Cue It Up with Jonathan Q. He may be back later on in the hour, but for right now, we're joined by a special guest, Daniel Terrence Robertson, DTR, who has a new tape out called Death Is Here, joining us in studio, and he's going to play a set for us for the next 20 to 30 minutes or so. So enjoy. Without further ado, this is Daniel Terrence Robertson. Thank you.
down the fucking stairs, I swear. I just, no, that night you're not doing anything. Turn around, start walking. I turn around and start walking.
Just a place in a face. Hello, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Coast Salish Musqueam territory at UBC, British Columbia. You just heard a set from Daniel Terrence Robertson, who will be joining us in studio momentarily. Until then, here's a track from local artist Ian William Craig, Purpose is No Country.
There is an old song, red as red, a painting that pulls as it dries, spends all the Sunday lost in purpose is no country confined. Purpose is no country confined. And the land's lacking nothing. Between the softest and the wide, stretching the map till it turns into land. The purpose is no country confined. Purpose is no country.
Hello, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live again from UBC, Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded traditional Coast Salish Musqueam territory. This is John. We'll be broadcasting for the next 30 minutes with Queued Up, and right now I have a very special guest. You just heard a set from Daniel Terrence Robertson. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, John.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Yeah, it's not raining. It's nice.
Is that the first time you've played a set since? I heard you had an album release at Redgate. Is that
Yeah, about a week and a half ago, I had a album release at Redgate, and it was a really beautiful show with a lot of friends playing, and that's the first time I've played for anyone since then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of different circumstances here.
Yeah, definitely.
Prefer it a bit more.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, too, because... if I can be so bold as to call your music introspective to a great degree, it's interesting seeing yourself kind of play for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Too. It was interesting while playing here because I knew people were listening or at least could hear, mm-hmm. but I was very much just in my studio mindset, like mm-hmm. alone. Yeah.
Does performing live come naturally to you, or?
In different capacities, yes and no. I think that once I am in the music and I guess I feel sort of bolstered and empowered by like the people around me, if I'm playing with them or if I'm playing for them. So there's a lot of energy in that, but I also have, I guess, a lot of nerves about attention being on me. So when it's not the music, it's a challenge, but I love it either way. Yeah.
It's interesting you talk about sort of borrowing or sharing energy with other people. And I'm wondering if that has any relation to your new album, Death, which has just come out. Mm. If I'm not mistaken, it's your debut solo album.
Yeah.
And sort of what kind of energy you had going into that in yeah. comparison to your other work.
Yeah. That's a good question. It's actually kind of the complete opposite. I didn't show anyone the music I was creating, and Death was a series of songs that I'd made. Probably some of them were made almost 4 years ago, and they were all just hidden around in different folders in my computer, and I think I was in a very specific headspace due to some things that happened in the community that I live in, and mm-hmm. I just kind of realized this string tying these songs together, both like of time but also this kind of the presence of death and the question of it, and how that's been like informing my view of these like certain intense experiences that I've had. So, but like no one was hearing this the whole time. I hadn't shown anyone any of the songs, and then I just went to Bowen Island to this retreat center and just mixed them all and sort of mastered them, and then put them out for my friends on Facebook one yeah. night, and people appreciated it, and I was very it was a scary thing to put it out there, but now in terms of people's energy, I just had a few key people that I really admired, and they really encouraged me, and in particular Andrew Lee from Holy Hum, and he just started a label called Heavy Lark, and he decided to put it out on that label, and that kind of really changed my view of my own music, in the sense of at least being able to acknowledge that someone besides me could appreciate it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. With that said, I'd like to revisit the album soon, but yeah. maybe we could go back to the very beginning and, mm-hmm. and talk about just when you sort of began training as a musician, because you know there's a lot going on in your set,
yeah.
and you're putting all of the elements together in your own recorded material, so
yeah.
I'm curious about your path into becoming a multi-instrumental musician.
I think listening to music has been a place of solace and solitude for me, and I also like strong place of admiration, where I'd like look at these bands I listened to growing up and just wanted to be like them. And in high school I started playing in a few different bands with friends, mainly guitar.
May I ask where this was?
In Richmond. Yeah.
Oh, my hometown.
Oh, nice. Sweet. Yeah, that's where I grew up. Actually, the roots of that are that my mom is a really good piano player, and mm-hmm. we play at church most Sundays, and my dad is like a songwriter and a guitar player, although he won't show anyone but mm-hmm. his family. But yeah, so I think from that and from listening, I started playing in bands, and I also played at church a lot of guitar. Mm-hmm. And And then I started playing in a bit more of a serious band with some of my closest friends. We were called Herd in the Mountains, and we put out a few EPs. And while even that was happening, these songs were already starting to be written, like, 3 or 4 years ago. And, following sort of our Herd in the Mountains spread out to a number of different places, Australia, Calgary, Berlin. So while we were all apart and still are, I've kind of really come into spending time on my own making music and layering things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now that the album is out, do you see yourself kind of, is it a matter of needing to divert your energies into like making another piece, or are you just kind of feeling it out right now with other projects?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the nature of this album in particular was that I created these songs without intention and more in certain moments that almost felt like I had this internal need to make them. So now, like, considering making another album, I could kind of wait for it to come. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, I'm trying to do that, or just like taking the moments when they come. But also that could be forever, or it could be really fast. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just kind of waiting on my body or spirit.
I am interested then that it's sort of like that's a matter of seeing what comes to you and then piecing it together. If you, and you can ask me to be more specific, perhaps if this is too vague of a question, but like if you detect some mood in Vancouver or the Pacific Northwest, or just a mood that is having musicians make a certain kind of music that you might be feeling.
That's an interesting question. I think that there are multiple moods, as there are multiple scenes and tastes, and I think I'm drawn to a certain mood. I think in a lot of cases, like, I like Vancouver bands. I really like my friend Francesca's band Moo and Holy Hum, which is Andrew Lee, and the guys in We Are the City are really great, and Drums. And then there, and those are all sort of like incorporating electronic, but like it's dark and it's introspective to a certain degree. But then there are also these wonderful like post-punk and hardcore bands, which are I suppose channeling an equivalent mood, but just much louder and more desperate sounding.
And that's actually kind of what I was fishing for, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts on why that might be not the prevailing mood, but a prevailing mood in Vancouver.
I think there are a number of reasons that at least I can only speak for myself, but I see that in myself, like wintertime and darkening days, which I think every city definitely experiences to different degrees, but that is a time where songs like this come out more. I think pretty much all the songs on the album were written during winter times. And for some reason that it just resonates with me, the experience of that. And I mean, these days amongst my friends and I, the kind of proximity to America, as well as just the actions that Canada is taking internationally and even within our nation, are definitely a cause for mourning, I think, and definitely like also a call to activism, to be active in supporting people's voices. So I think that kind of could, at least in my experience, like really loud music is really empowering, and introspective music is like lamenting in a lot of cases. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what you think.
It's definitely a heavy topic. It's and it's interesting because, I suppose right now what's really popular to talk about in terms of Vancouver music is the Canadian Riviera and a great portion of the dance scene, and it's kind of characterized by a bubbly, carefree quality that's like balanced on this other side, which is very dark and very it is interesting that there's this, you know, electronic introspective pulse, like Eileen Bryant to Ian William Craig. Is that because you do find like when you're making music just for solace, for I guess solace would be the word. Is it, I'm curious, looking at death, maybe tracks which aren't winter tracks, like, which aren't, sorry.
There's a track called Falsity that isn't a winter track, I don't think, now that I'm thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's very much a early morning summer song, like in terms of the moment that it was came from.
Mm-hmm.
And in respect to the dance scene, I think I totally agree. But it's interesting because I think, only speaking for myself again, like dance music and dancing and like the after hours scene is a, like a cathartic release.
Yeah.
And it's less cerebral or like even emotional. It's very body oriented, which is just like another facet of like the experience of music, which I think we kind of have it pretty well. We have a good spectrum around us.
I'm wondering maybe about influences outside of Vancouver that you find particularly strong right now, because it seems like you have a lot of roots here, especially within the scene. But what is happening outside of Vancouver that you think is exciting?
Oh, that's funny. I didn't. Yeah, when you first asked that, my thoughts were like philosophy and God.
Oh, by all means. Like, no, by all means.
But musically,
this is just a chance to cure your wish list.
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of and loving Midori Takada, who's this, like, she released only a few records in the 80s of like marimba and very like ambient marimba work. So that's probably my favorite album for a long time. I also really listen to a lot of Death Grips and like them a lot. And I think that spectrum kind of speaks to where my musical tastes lie. Like I do actually listen to a lot of rap, which I enjoy a lot. I've been searching out marimba music, I think, is what I could say. Like Steve Reich's different works, and in particular Music for 18 Musicians, which I saw just a week ago or so.
Do you see yourself making something in the minimalist tradition?
Yes, I think so. I'm not like classically trained, so it would come out in a different way, but I'm actually kind of like teaching a class of like grade threes and fours marimba at this free music school. And that's really fun. It's loud, but it's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Moving from grade threes to lament, if you would like to expound on like the philosophical or spiritual ideas informing your work, that's something I'm very interested in hearing.
Yeah. definitely. So I grew up in a home that went to church and believed in God and mm-hmm. Jesus, and also along with that were like very caring to the people around them, and very like just empathetic mm-hmm. and true to what they believe, and a lot of that has kind of been a point of struggle for me coming into, I guess, more on the other side of childhood. And part of that was coming to UBC and studying philosophy and really identifying with the work of Kierkegaard and Heidegger and Sartre, all the kind of existentialist tradition, mm-hmm. and realizing that I hadn't taken my life and made it for myself. It had kind of been given to me. So I was in the church that I was born into, and I was amongst a lot of the same people like throughout my entire life, and it just these songs came to be while I was kind of being deconstructed and being torn apart. So they're quite they're not specifically philosophical or referential in most cases, but they are very much like the result of a questioning kind of unrooting me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I believe or think now, but I'm definitely, my thoughts are there most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Given that, and I don't want to create this dichotomy of like center or periphery, but mm-hmm. you know, that you grew up in Richmond,
mm-hmm.
Rather urban in your own community, you're still playing in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself traveling, going somewhere else, trying to
find
that out?
Actually, a lot of my friends recently have been moving to different places, mm-hmm. and it's really, I think for a long time I've kind of seen mm-hmm. myself staying in Vancouver, or it's hard to imagine leaving friends and family, but as of late I've felt that pull very strongly. Mm-hmm. One of my best friends, Mitchell, who I sometimes play shows with, he spent a year in Berlin, and I
mm-hmm.
just I wanted to be there with him a lot of the time, and now I'm thinking I'd like to go play music probably in Europe, maybe visit a friend in Germany or Norway or wherever else
mm.
I feel the pull. So
it's interesting. Yeah. Because in Vancouver, I say it's interesting a lot, but it is interesting.
It's an interesting world.
That, absolutely. There is sort of a philosophical pull with other electronic musicians in Vancouver, too. Sarah Novaci published her master's thesis on like the connection between ambient synth drone music and Heidegger's.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. What is that?
It's just how drone music functions in much the same sense as how Heidegger conceives of language, and how language has to do with worlding. Did not graduate with a philosophy degree, but it's interesting. Certainly it's your own music seems to create an environment and lament is definitely a word I think that is evocative now of the kind of feelings and emotions people are having. Are you, it's funny with that the sort of tagline for your Beatroot article is Daniel Terence Robinson is not a depressive person. I'm wondering, are you finding yourself optimistic in terms of, because I mean, you know, it's personal, personal terms, album, successful.
This is a very
shows are happening.
This is a very personal conversation for.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to talk about that specifically. No, yeah, I just mean, are you optimistic in terms of the
like music or
yeah, yeah,
or the world?
Yeah. Well, you know, both. All and
yeah,
all and everything.
Definitely music has been sort of a hope that hasn't flickered too much amongst like a lot of other lack of hope mm-hmm. in the world and in my life. So it's very much like what I'm putting my thoughts and energy into these days. Mm-hmm. So definitely I am optimistic about future potential. And it's funny because I've only this, I mean, if you count this as a show, I've only, this is my fifth show with this, and it seems like with each one there are new opportunities coming quite fast and furious. Mm-hmm. So it's yeah, it's been really great. In terms of the world and optimism, I live in a community in the downtown East Side, and I think there's the possibility or the potential for me and for people that come spend time with me to feel a lack of hope in that area, just because there's a lot of trauma and it's generational and cyclical and ongoing. But in the community I live in, there are just like really beautiful things coming out of that. And I think at that small scale, to see that there's sort of this glow, and it's emanating into, like I was talking about that, the free music school, that's for, it's like really good music teachers. I'm not a really good music teacher, but I'm an assistant, but they're like classically trained professional music teachers that are providing free lessons for kids that are like financially unable to have instruments or learn music. So that to me is like, there's lots of hope in that. I'm optimistic about that.
Well,
yeah.
I have one more question.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told by someone else here at the station that you have an interesting story about the blue luggage case that you buy your equipment in. I'm wondering if you care to share
yeah,
that story.
Christine. I had, oh man, so it's not funny at all.
Okay.
I had a neighbor growing up named Phil, who was this old artist and very nice, and would like invite, he was Polish, and invite my brother and sister and I over for like cookies and to watch TV. But he gave my dad a power saw in this blue suitcase, and I ended up taking that suitcase and using it to carry all my music gear. So now I have a little bit of Phil's garage with me everywhere I go.
And with music, that's something beautiful. Art, you take pieces of yourself and carry them on forward. Thank you for joining me, Daniel.
Yeah, totally.
And thank you for the
Thanks,
lovely
John.
Set. Again, Daniel Terrence Robertson's new album is available on Heavy Lark. You can get it via cassette and any other formats currently?
I have a very few records.
Are they available online?
Yeah.
Few records still available online. That's Death by Daniel Terrence Robertson. Any parting words?
I'd like to know the name of that thesis you were talking about.
I've got to look it up.
Yeah.
We might be able to mention it on the show real quick. we're going to go into Falsity by Daniel Terrence Robertson, something a bit lighter, I'm told. And thank you again for joining me.
Sweet, yeah. Thank you.
On Friday, December 2nd, Spruce Trap will release their debut full-length album, The Wise Prefer to Perish, through Big Smoke and Eagle Time Records. To commemorate the release, Big Smoke is proud to present a special evening of music to celebrate community, our city's architecture, and the art scene that inspires Vancouver's cultural identity. The show will be held at the beautiful Christ Church Cathedral in downtown Vancouver and will be free to attend. Performances will come from Spruce Trap, Holy Hum, and Ian William Craig.
A lot of people protested all the time about this place.
This week on Cited.
People would drive by and throw bottles, scream at people.
The story of the worst motel in upstate New York and the sociologist who decided to live there so he could study America's most hated criminals.
Sex offenders, parolees, indigent, that's what it was for.
Exiled, Sex Offenders at the Boardwalk Motel, airing this Friday, 8 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
Hello, this is John. Thank you again for joining us. Cue it up, CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from Vancouver, UBC, on Unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam Land. We have Vibes and Stuff coming out next, and today we had a very special live performance and interview with Daniel Terrence Robertson, whose new album, Death, is available on Heavy Lark. And we will be back next week, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. If you care to hear today's episode again, find it on CITR.ca under special broadcasts or under Cue It Up. Thank you.